there were stories that every time this woman wanted to have sex with my grandfather, she would plant a flag outside her front door.
Hey guys, this is Chelsea Brown, and welcome back to Time Traveler. I return lost heirlooms to families, and in this podcast, I'll be sharing all of my juiciest returns and the stories behind them, deep diving into the scandal and drama behind genealogy,
giving a historical point of view on trending topics and pop culture.
But most importantly, I'm using these heirlooms to travel back in time
to connect us with real, raw moments in history.
Last episode, we spoke about cheating and affairs. We discussed a diary from 1926 where a man revealed all of the affairs he was having outside of his marriage. And we also talked about the affair that just completely obliterated my best friend's marriage. But today, I actually have my dad here to talk about an affair that happened within my own family. Yes, my great-grandfather and my dad's grandfather had an affair. But before we get into that, I want to share a super interesting artifact that I have been working on this week that took me down an insane rabbit hole. And by the way, I got this one at a flea market in New York City. This is a photo album from the mid-19th century. It is essentially a Civil War photo album. Maybe it was started around 1860, I believe. I spent quite a lot on this album, $200, which usually I wouldn't, but it was one of those items I couldn't walk away from. There were not only names listed inside, but Civil War photos, and I knew this was something so special. I would have totally regretted it if I didn't buy it and try and find the family or the descendants. Unfortunately, with this one, though, there are a lot of generalized identifiers in the album, like grandmother, cousin, father, mother, with no exact names. So it is taking me a little bit of time to find the family. However, I did find some wild records of one person featured in the album. And so far, I'm unclear whether this is a close relative or family friend, but I have a feeling it's a cousin. But here's the story. Here's the drama. In 1897, there was a wackadoodle newspaper article about him. And we're just going to call him John Doe. And if you're new here, I try not to reveal real names, even of the deceased, because I try and protect the identity of these families. But the article from 1897 reads, "John Doe has been missing from his home on 3rd Street since Wednesday last. Mr. Doe received his pension money amounting to $36 and started for Troy. Nothing has been heard of him since, and his wife is unable to account for his mysterious disappearance. It is thought by some that he has been the victim of foul play." Isn't that juicy? I tried to find another article that concluded what happened to him, but unfortunately, all I found was an obituary from a year later, which it does kind of, in a way, prove that he was found and alive. The obituary stated that he enlisted in the 31st New York Infantry, May 21st, 1861, and was honorably discharged July 12, 1863. He was wounded in the Second Battle of Bull Run. His widow, who survives, was with him in the war acting as a nurse. And for those who don't know, this would mean that he did fight in the Civil War and was discharged due to being wounded. So far, I haven't been able to find any public trees with him in it, and I'm going to continue updating everyone on this photo album on TikTok. So I personally like searching for public family trees when researching these families because I can take the common last name I found in this photo album with the man's last name, and I can see if there are any trees with both of those surnames together. Again, I have a very strong feeling that he might be a cousin to those featured in this album. So once I find some trees with both surnames together, that will really narrow down this family. But again, continue to follow me on TikTok because I will be continuing this story there. But this actually takes me down to the rabbit hole that we spoke about earlier. When I am researching these artifacts, and especially when I'm researching these artifacts, when I try and return them to the family members or descendants, I'm technically not just researching the person who owned the item. I'm researching the extended family and even other names that might pop up in the artifact as well. Great example of this is that if there's a diary and there are other names mentioned of families in the neighborhood, I will research them also. This particular instance just happened a few weeks ago. In a recent diary I found, the writer mentioned a fellow in the neighborhood who got run over by a train in 1908. So what I did was I made sure to contact the descendants of that specific family who was mentioned in the diary to make sure they knew how this particular ancestor died, if they didn't already know. But also, I go down other research rabbit holes that sometimes don't even relate to the artifact that I find. And this happens a lot when I need to examine old newspaper articles. The types I come across in articles from 100 plus years ago are insane. And then sometimes I'll try and solve the mysteries for those also. So for example, when examining this particular newspaper article from that man for the photo album who had his mysterious disappearance, I came across another newspaper article from around that same time. And the headline was, "A Jealous Husband Murders His Wife's Paramour." If you don't know what the word paramour is, it basically just means the lover of someone who is married. This is after research, but apparently the murderer's wife had left him a year prior to be with someone else. And so obviously we can conclude that this guy, he killed this guy out of jealousy. But what's really interesting about this is from even more research that I did, per the wife's testimony in court, her husband actually agreed with the arrangement of the paramour. And not only that, he frequently had dinners with his wife and her paramour, her boyfriend. But obviously, in the end, regardless of all of the dinners, he was not okay with it as he shot her paramour in the head. But this affair is a great segue into why my dad is here today. We are going to be talking about an affair that was recently revealed through a DNA test within our own family. It would be my dad's grandfather and my great-grandfather. And this affair resulted in 11 love children. But also, we also have a murder that happened too, but we are going to talk about that in another episode. So, Dad, do you want to introduce yourself and say hi to all of your fans?
Oh, hi, I'm Chelsea's dad. I'm Bruce. And Chelsea, yes, your grandfather, I'm sorry, my grandfather, your great-grandfather, had 6 children, including my mother. And my mother had 5 siblings. Those were, of course, my aunts and uncles. That's all I knew that we had in our family on my mother's side. And what happened was, in about 6 years ago, I got a email out of the clear blue sky. Apparently, somebody found our genealogy tree online, and the lady wrote that my husband believes that your grandfather to be his great-grandfather. So that kind of stunned me, because out of the clear blue sky, somebody here is claiming a relationship with my grandfather, and I did not know these people at all. So it was rather shocking to receive that email, and I asked the lady if we could talk on the phone, and we did. She said that in her husband's family, there were rumors that my grandfather was having an affair with the matriarch of their family, and that this affair had gone on for some time. Now, this is the first I've heard of my grandfather having an affair or outside of the family. He died in 1933 from tuberculosis, and I never knew him. But this all came as a shock to me. So I asked the lady if her husband had taken a DNA test. I was very anxious to see if he was related to me through DNA, that would certainly prove the rumor was true. And by total coincidence, he had just taken a DNA test. And so within a couple of days, we were able to compare the amount of centimorgans we had to see if there was an overlap. And sure enough...
Can you explain what centimorgans are to the people who aren't familiar with genealogy or DNA?
Well, simply put, the amount of centimorgans are related to the chromosome structure. Won't get into technical details here, but the more centimorgans in relationship means you have a tighter chromosome match. You're a better match and a tighter match. So generally, if you're up above 250 centimorgans, for example, you have a pretty close relationship, certainly as a cousin. When we took a look at that centimorgan relationship, we could see that this person, the stranger, was indeed related to me. So all of a sudden, I started investigating this family who I never heard of before. And I discovered then that in this family, this woman that supposedly had an affair with my grandfather, and they lived in a small town, that she had 11 children. And then I was curious, could he have been the father of these 11 children? Now, this woman was married at the time also, which was even stranger. So what I set out to do then was to try to locate descendants of all these 11 children and, in fact, offer to pay for the DNA testing of these descendants to see if my grandfather was the father, really, of all of these children. So it did set out on an elaborate research project to locate descendants. And it involved a lot of cold contacts, a lot of research online through family trees. And in the research, I was able to come across people or contact people that actually were interested in taking a DNA test to see if my grandfather could have indeed been the lover of this woman. Now, in some cases, I found that some people did not want to take a DNA test. In fact, they did not want to know that what they thought was their own grandfather or great-grandfather was really my grandfather. So, in fact, it upset some people. And in fact, in one...
And they did threaten you.
Yes. And in one case...
They threatened you.
Yeah. In one case, somebody threatened me, said, I want you to stop your research or else. Now, I don't know what or else meant. But anyway, I kept up.
You can conclude that it wasn't good. But I actually want to pause you there because I want to say this is actually a great example of how the controversy surrounding how sometimes I choose not to return certain artifacts to families. It is because, again, not all families want to know these things, especially when it comes to affairs or love children. Those are very intimate topics. And that can, telling someone that their father isn't who they think it is, their grandfather isn't who they think it is, that could change someone's life. So when I am returning these artifacts, that's obviously something I keep in the back of my mind. Because again, a lot of people just don't want to know, and that's okay. I mean, but it's not okay to threaten someone, right? But it is sensitive information. And in a way, it's not like these families are hiring you to explore their genealogy, right? It's the opposite. You're finding out this information. You're finding this artifact. You're finding out this scandal or mystery behind this family. And then you're entering someone's life unexpectedly and saying, hey, I found this information. Do you want to know it? But again, the threats are not good, but it wasn't a good example of how sometimes you have to be sensitive with the types of artifacts that I return, especially if they reveal very sensitive information, because some people just don't want to know.
Well, I concluded through DNA testing that at least 7 of the 11 children that this woman bore were indeed from my grandfather. And we don't know about the other four. Two of the children never had children themselves, so we have no descendants to test.
But you're pretty sure that it would be the grandfather's, because you also heard a rumor that her husband was actually impotent.
Yep. That was the rumor as I was interviewing people or talking to people in this other family. There were stories that the husband of this woman was impotent. And in fact, in this small town, there were strong rumors that this woman was having an affair with my grandfather. Now, I didn't know any of this, and nobody in my own family knew any of this going on. But in this other family, there were all sorts of rumors. And as I was interviewing people about it, there were stories that every time this woman wanted to have sex with my grandfather, she would plant a flag outside her front door.
Oh, my God.
And that would signal that it was time for him to come over. There was another story that she would go behind her house with a shiny pail, shine a flashlight on it at nighttime, and it would signal him, who was in the backyard, that it was okay to come into the house for sex. So that was another story running around in the family.
Wow.
But there were also stories, and I interviewed one person, and she was at school, and she was taunted. She was bullied at school because there were rumors in the small town that this woman was having sex with my grandfather, and she was called a whore. The kids would taunt.
I didn't know that.
Yep. The children at school said, told the kids that her grandmother was a whore. She then asked her mother what that meant and was told never to say a word or talk about it again. So it's really...
You never told me that. That's the first time you're... I didn't know that.
Yep. There seem to be countless stories about this in this very, very small town. So as a result of this, we have lots, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new cousins that I never thought we had before. So it's really quite an involved story, and there's lots of different angles to it. But certainly DNA was the method and means to verify that these rumors were actually true.
Right. And I think this is a great example of why, if you are interested in genealogy or family history, or even history in general, taking a DNA test, not just you, but giving one to your entire family, it is important. It's powerful, and it can be overwhelming and emotional, but I think it's necessary when you want to explore your family tree and your family lineage. I mean, you can learn things like this from DNA testing. And this is why I always persuade people to get a DNA test. Go on myheritage.com, get a DNA test, take your DNA, and within a few days, you will have thousands of matches from people all over the world. And that way you can start connecting the dots within your family tree. And you can, you know, you can find out about things like affairs and love children and whatnot. And if there's anything my dad and I have learned doing genealogy, it is that every family has something going on behind closed doors. And not only that, but every family has a scandal within their family lineage. I mean, every single family. And these are things you can find out through DNA testing.
Yep. We have a very dysfunctional family, Chelsea.
Well, we could get into that in another episode.
Yep.
But
we'll save that. Save that for another time.
We will save that for another time. Yeah, we also have a murder in the family too. Quite spicy, but it is. I mean, this stuff is powerful. But in the end, Dad, I think you're happy to know about your grandfather, right? Because now you were able to connect with, not everyone, but many of these new cousins, and you were able to create friendships with them. And I think that's really important. And they're also very much open to exploring their new ancestry and lineage, which is even more exciting, and it just opened up so many doors, right, for conversation.
Yeah, we went to the small town. In fact, we visited with our new cousins, and they welcomed us with open arms. And up to this day, we exchange emails, and we're in communication with several of them. So it's kind of enriched our family knowing about this and making these connections.
Right. Right. And it's also a spicy conversation to have over holiday gatherings, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dad, thank you for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule of watching football to share our family drama with the world. And again, we also have that murderer. We could have a murderer in the family, but we have a murder in the family. But we will get into that another time. In episode 4, we are talking all about an insane asylum from the 1800s, women's rights, and a man who tried to bury his wife alive in 1902. Crazy, right? For more genealogy, history, and heirloom returns, make sure to follow me at City Chic Decor on Instagram and Chelsea I. Brown on TikTok. And tune into next week's episode because you are not going to want to miss it.